Hello everyone, this is Songs from a Room, an intimate singer-songwriter showcase where I, Bob Palos, invite very talented artists to the podcast for a one-on-one. We'll learn a little about each artist, what inspires them, what brought them to play the music they play, and the moments that led them to write the songs they wrote. Then finally, to play me a song
just to get us
from a room.
Just get us feeling like we're talking.
Yeah, I was, what did I do today? I was kind of working on this like visa application to go back to London.
Oh, you're going back to London?
Well, I'm trying, but I just arrived here last Saturday from there, and I didn't want to leave, but my visa ran out, and I had to leave.
You're saying you literally came back to New York like last Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we started already. So
yeah.
See how it goes as soon as you start talking. Now it's a conversation. I'm in my apartment with Esme White, and we've just learned that she's just arrived back in the old USA from London.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there for 5 years. So it was like, it was a big, big chunk. I decided that I wanted to like actually do music there. So it was like a big, that's all my songs that I've been playing are written in the past 2 years there. So,
okay. So cause you said you were living in New York before.
I'm from New York.
Okay.
I was born in Soho. We got evicted when I was like 5. And
big story there.
Yeah, no, I walked back yesterday and it's just like an empty, like ex-hair salon now.
Oh,
it was one of those big lofts, and
I
was like, God damn it, that's where I want to go back to. But I grew up in like Brooklyn, Long Island, and now my mom lives in Harlem.
Okay.
So I'm currently with her right now.
You're with your mom in Harlem. Relanding.
Yeah.
Back from London. Wow.
Yeah.
And you, what brought you to London in the first place?
Honestly, I went over because I'm half Canadian, and I got so I could get a work visa really easily. There's like a Commonwealth scheme for like people that are like, if you're above 18, you can get this thing where, because it's like the Queen.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's still
like
linked somehow.
Yeah,
I don't
know. I don't know how, but I got it through the Canadian side, and I went over because there was this old man who used to date my mom, who was a printmaker, and he offered for me to like live in his house.
Oh, wow.
For free for a while. And I stayed there for the first few months I was there, and I was doing printmaking at the time. So,
you had to learn the skill of the print.
I mean, yeah, I wish more. He wasn't there. So it was like, it was like this old derelict house in Hammersmith. And I went over, I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. And I ended up working in a bar there, like an old Irish bar, and I lived there for 4 years.
So that just became that your whole home, huh?
I just started drinking a lot.
Shit happened.
It was great. And I was like dating the landlord of the bar, who's this Irish guy.
Oh, you really just sunk right into that life.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was super like, it was super nice. Like they just like were super welcoming there. I met so many like 80-year-old alcoholics that just welcomed me.
Yeah.
And there I spent every Christmas there. Like it was great.
Wow. Okay. And is that where so when did you start deciding to pick up the guitar and start playing the music?
Yeah, it was, cause I played when I was a teenager a bit, but I kind of forgot how to do everything by this. And I,
rusty.
Yeah. And I did it like during lockdown. I had a guitar. I bought a guitar right before lockdown, and I was like, I want to like do this. And kind of during lockdown, I was like remembering how to play and everything, and just like writing constantly. And it was in the bar. So we had this like whole bar that was empty, which was great for writing in.
Oh, so you moved there before lockdown?
Yeah,
it was like right before, and then it locks down, and you just got the whole bar to yourself.
Yeah.
Oh wow! All right, that's a hell of a space, though.
Yeah, it was, and it was just like super inspiring, sort of. I guess like I felt like I could write about like kind of all the characters in the bar, and also it made me like write about New York a lot, which was weird.
home away from home.
Yeah. And I, because when I left New York, I kind of hated it here. I just had a lot of bad connotations because it's just like, it's like, it can feel really like heavy and soul sucking.
That's what it does.
Yeah. New York can grind you down a bit. But then when you're away from it, it feels really nostalgic. Or, I also, like, my dad passed away a few years before, and he, when he died, he left behind this duffel bag of undeveloped film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was, like, all from, like, up to probably 2013 or something of in New York, like, just street photography. And
going how far back?
Probably, I think that stuff was to the, like, 2000 probably starting. Yeah. But he was a photographer before that, but this stuff was, like, when he was doing house painting more, like towards the end of his life, he wasn't like professional anymore. Cause it's just like, kind of like, I don't know. It became impossible to like,
sometimes it retires you.
Yeah. And, so I was like, kind of like in lockdown in London, like looking through, my mom scanned all the negatives from this duffel bag, and it was like 300 rolls of film. And just like looking through those, like all of lockdown. And I kind of like started just writing songs, based on the old photos in there. So it was kind of that was a cool experience.
That is cool. So the art your father made inspired you to create your own art.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we hear one? Are you ready to play
one? Yeah, I can play one.
Okay, yeah, let's jump right into it. I think that's like a perfect.
Yeah, I can play. This one has like two parts kind of. So it starts with a poem and then it'll go into a song. But the photo that it was inspired by was there's, I don't know, I have to find it. It's on the F train somewhere. And he took this photo getting off the train, and there's like a graveyard, and it's in Brooklyn, but you can see the Manhattan skyline behind it. And it kind of looks like they're all part of the same, city, like the graves and the skyscrapers.
Yeah.
So it's a cool photo. And then I wrote this song, which was supposed to be from his point of view, like riding the train all night and not knowing where to get off. But I started with this poem usually, so I'll start with the poem.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
My daddy, he falls asleep at the TV screen every night of the weekend. Auntie, she does the same. We got TV blood running through our veins. He's got five teeth and a big black hat, and he talks to crows, and he taught me that the truth moves slower than a lion. True friends are hard to find, and he goes to work every day, and he dances with strangers on the downtown train, finds dollar store angels on the way home, and he tells me about them with a bloody nose, and his nose, it bleeds and bleeds and bleeds, and a good night's sleep is all he needs, but he only buys blow up beds, cause he says that he can sleep good when he is dead. Yeah, he says that he can sleep good when he is dead. Heartbeats and battery running through the veins of working men who rest their head in their hands on the downtown train. Listen to the chick-a-chick lullaby. The train wants it known that nodding off on the F line is better than sleeping alone. Alone, oh, long time I'm running. No, I'm coming home, home, home. But it's been so long and I don't know where to go. I've been on every stop now. I've been on every light. I've heard so many heartbeats, oh, and I still can't find home, home. In the train it passed.
graveyard and Manhattan skyline behind. Lights up like every high-rise ignites for all those who've died, and the moonlight drips through the window, a spotlight on my chest. And for a moment I can see you dancing in your beer-stained baby blue dress.
That was great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. That was, I could see I can almost see the picture your father took.
Yeah.
You know? Really, a lot of great imagery there. It's a great song. Naturally, did that just like, how long did it, so it's two pieces, you said.
Yeah. Well, I usually like playing them together.
Yeah.
They could exist on their own. The poem part is like about him from my point of view. And then the song is supposed to be him on the train. Like, he had this girlfriend in the 70s named Yvonne that died when she was really young. Mm. And so I kind of wrote it about him, like, looking for her on the train. Like, kind of when she died, I think it did something in his psyche where he felt like he was always looking for that love. So it's kind of... And also right before she died, she died when she was like 17 in a car crash.
Ooh,
and but it was like in the 70s. He was born in 1950, so he was pretty old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was like going home alone, and it was always this cryptic thing. Like I wanted to write a song about home for him and for her. So that it kind of just came out pretty naturally, that song.
Wow, because it's very put together. So it just kind of channeled out, and it was like that with all
I think the first part, like the kind of beat of it, like the heartbeats and battery, that's mm-hmm. kind of sat in my voice notes for 6 months probably.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, but I didn't really think about it.
It seeded and...
Yeah, and then I like listened to it and I was like, oh, cool. And then I wrote the whole song.
Because yeah, that's definitely like a great bookend there too, with the chicka chicka of the train too.
Yeah.
Yeah, some great imagery in the lyrics, and then phonically it's a good song.
Thank you.
I approve. Glad I got to hear it. Yeah,
it's cool playing it. That's like, I haven't played that like in New York ever.
Oh, so
it's kind of cool.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Wow, that was beautiful. Beautiful song. Great with inspiring concept too. You know, it's so great you got to do that. You know,
yeah.
Feels like a really good homage. I want to see this picture now.
Yeah. I'll show you. It's cool.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's cool. They're good photos too. They're really good photos.
So yeah, he was a professional for many years until the industry kind of...
Yeah, he was like a music photographer. He did a lot of stuff in Louisiana, mm-hmm. Like in New Orleans and Lafayette and he was like obsessed with blues music. And
but you got to, that's the kind of a blues number yourself, right?
Yeah, I grew up kind of on blues music.
Me too. I feel like it's all the blues.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like every time I think about it, they all just go back to blues first, fourth, and fifth.
It's cool. It's really like grounding to listen to that music when mm-hmm. you're like trying to overcomplicate things too.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't actually need all the other stuff. Like that's just like pure energy.
Yeah, right. I mean, I consider myself I'm a terrible songwriter, which is why I like doing the songwriter podcast, because I get too conscious of it. As soon as I think I'm like onto something, then I'm like, it's a songwriter, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just the music. It's there, you know? Yeah. You just got to grab it and put it down.
I think that, that little voice is really dangerous. So
yeah.
Like, oh no, you can't do that. Like, because you, I don't know, it's like you have to build a relationship with yourself, I think, too, which probably can take like many years to do, to trust yourself.
Right, I'll start writing songs again. I'll do it. I don't know, great song. Your vocals, so you said you just started playing music, but
I did it when I was a teenager, too, though. I feel like I really started singing. I used to sing with this band called the Carrie Kearney Band, mm-hmm. and they're like this old blues rock band from Long Island.
Oh, really?
And they kind of like helped me when I was a teenager, but then I just kind of stopped. It was like stressing me out a lot or something. I started having like panic attacks.
The stage is stressing you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've always loved writing stories and poems and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I kept doing that. Going on stage though now, in London. There's this place called Spiritual Bar that I started playing at, and they just let me play there every week. Like,
they just gave you the space.
Yeah, they kind of have like a good like sort of like residency sort of program there, mm-hmm. where like you can just come back, and like having that space where you can do even like a half hour to 45 minute set every week just really.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's a great workout room. And they just saw your raw talent and just said, take it.
Yeah.
Take the space and let you go.
Yeah. The owner there does that with like quite a few people. And it's just such a, it's got, they have such a great community there, I think, because of that.
Yeah.
Just a network of musicians that are all kind of like folk, blues,
but
some rock stuff.
Everybody's safe at the Spiritual Bar.
Chalk Farm. Yeah.
Spiritual Bar in Chalk Farm. All right. Well, if I'm ever out there, man, I'll go.
Yeah, you have to go. You'd love it.
Okay, yeah. Wow, you really just showed up on Saturday, huh?
Yeah, I literally just showed. That's why I was like going out to open mics and stuff, because I feel like I don't really know anyone.
Yeah.
In
the music scene here?
Yeah, in the music scene here. Yeah, exactly. Like, I do have a few friends here doing music, but it's like kind of more rock or techno kind of.
Everybody's plugged in.
Yeah. And I was like just looking for that kind of like having, there's something really powerful about just having guitar
mm-hmm.
and a voice and being able to show up and deliver with that. And it's like you're completely autonomous then too. You don't have to rely on anyone, which is nice.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Sometimes being in bands and trying to schedule and who's going to take lead and all this stuff, it's like, it's good to just be your own artist and just get out there and you can just hit the pavement, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only been, like a week?
Yeah, it's only been a week. The moving back here was really kind of sudden because I was going to get married.
Oh, really?
In October.
Yeah. Wow, you've been going through a whole lot.
Yeah. That didn't just like, fell apart. And so then now I've had to move back, and I'm like,
you're trying to get back to London?
I'm trying to get back to London. I'm getting hopefully this like global talent visa.
Okay.
Which is like for music. And then get back there. But I think, I don't know, New York's not as bad as I remember it.
So. Well, that's awesome. It sounds like you're on a great journey.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about the wedding falling apart.
It's okay. it's like, I think it's quite funny, honestly.
Yeah,
like, everything happens for a reason. You know?
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully, you dodged a bullet.
Yeah, I think I did.
Oh man! All right, should we try to talk about another song, or how do I?
Yeah,
how do I transition into another song?
I mean, I have a song about the person I was gonna marry. If like
perfect, like there you go.
I kind of like. wrote like a bunch of songs after we broke up, which is like crazy because I never wrote any like love songs before. Which I still haven't really. I wouldn't call them love songs. They're like, but they're not really breakup songs too. I was just like trying to like process a lot of weird stuff because, like our whole relationship was just like insane. Even the one I played the other night, I could play that because that's kind of about that.
Okay, but, yeah. This is a song you played at Pete's.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We'll do that.
Let's listen to
Let's
it.
Do it. The name of this song is Halo of Trash.
Became a factory for forming love and fantasies, quilting all reality with handmade janky tapestries, and every scar is a stitch on a square of fabric, and every bruise a blip within some holy pattern. And when she met a man all with a junkyard in his heart, she tried so goddamn hard to fix the broken parts, scrubbing up his shit with his demons, trying to make him fit within a gospel to believe in. And so the illusion grew that he was something more than a man. In every fist that he threw, she kissed his ring and said, they built a kingdom in the ecstatic trash, laughing and limping and loving on the lash, coming up with names for unborn children in the kind of place that probably would have killed them. And when her mother asked her the bruises round her neck, she said they were the pearls in her favorite necklace. And if you ever saw her with a teardrop on her face,
that's a powerful one. And that one, yeah, that one hits hard. I like, wish, oh man, that was good. I wanted to like jump in. Yeah. I was like, where's my harmonica?
Oh my god, that would be so cool.
Yeah, That was good.
I like playing that song. It's like really cathartic.
And I felt it. Yeah. I felt cathartic.
I'm really happy with all the songs I got out of it though. So it's like kind of like now I'm like, oh damn it, I need to like have something else really high intensity in my life to write about.
Tragic inspiration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, you know, it's out there. Don't worry, especially stay in New York, something will happen.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been cool though since I like because we broke up a couple times and like but like I hadn't been like single since I was like 15.
Oh, wow.
So it was a while and it was just like good. It was like now I've been alone and it's like so much better, like for writing and everything. Like you have to get in touch with your own intuition and
focus
stuff.
On you. It's yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's really difficult to write like when you have someone else, some other body around all the time.
Oh yeah.
You know? Like you can't really get in that zone.
Yeah. My wife and I, we definitely have to like if the days were both off, you know, sometimes we're just like, oh, good. And then you're like, oh, I was going to do something.
Yeah.
You're like, I think we get to have this space together. But, you know, one of us has to go to a cafe sometimes, right? You know,
yeah.
Otherwise, we'll just like, you know, stare at each other and not. Yeah. You know, are you going to leave yet?
Yeah, you have to take care of your own energy.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, no. Considering you're... Yeah, I didn't realize you literally just came here last week. I was going to be like, so you got an album coming up?
No, I...
Anything to plug?
I have like two songs on Spotify that people help me record in London. But I do want to do an album like of, cause I kind of like feel like everything I'm writing right now is existing in the same universe. Mm-hmm. And, it'd be nice. I just need to figure out like a system for that. You know, like, I don't really want to record it on a laptop.
No,
honestly.
No. Right.
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
to do
exactly.
It right.
So, that's, yeah, I'm like, trying to like work that out. But I would love to do an album at some point. And I'm kind of like more confident now than when I first was playing. I was kind of like, I don't know what I, you know.
Yeah. Now it feels like it's an objection, objective, and a purpose is kind of coming into focus.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it feels good.
Well, we'll link the Spotify in the descriptions for the podcast. And then when that album comes out, you all better listen to it. All right. Yeah, I think we did it. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Great music. This has been Songs from a Room. So when are you heading back to London anyway?
I don't know. So I don't have this visa. So I'm going to be here probably till May.
Okay.
So when I come back from New Orleans in late January, I'm gonna have to like get a job and stuff here, which is cool. So I'm kind of just gonna like throw myself at New York for a few months. I was like, okay, if I'm here, I may as well be here.
Yeah, so get some more.
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe you'll stay, right, Lupin?
Yeah, I know. Who knows?
This is how every podcast ends, with the cat jumping on my lap. Like, we're done now. Thanks for listening. This was Songs from a Room. Thank you to Ben Shapiro for providing all the theme music. Any inquiries, just email us at songsfromaroompodcast@gmail.com. Stay tuned, dialed up, and downloaded for the next episode. Bye.